Good morning. This is Father Mike Brennan. I'm recording here at St. Norbert College with one of my students. Nick and I and a group of students were recently in Normandy, France on a theology class, but we also spent some time at the Normandy beaches. While we were at the American Cemetery, Nick and I were walking around a bit together, and he mentioned he had dreamt of being at the Normandy beaches since he was in middle school. Nick, tell me a little bit about how that dream first started.
Well, in middle school, seventh grade, I was able to take a class on European history. And it was a wonderful teacher named Mr. Schneider, and he was, energetic, enthusiastic about history, almost to the point where he was just flowing with energy. And I think that's also where I am a history major here at St. Norbert College, and I also think that that's where my love for history started, was through him and through his class. And we went through all of European history, but he talked a lot about near the end of the year about the Normandy invasions of World War II, and it was just riveting and crazy to think that, you know, people stormed these beaches for a purpose. The purpose was to end the tyranny and the evil of the Nazis, and the amount of sacrifice that went into that, but they all believed in this cause. And from that point, I told myself that one day I wanted to visit the Normandy beaches and honor their sacrifice and thank them for what they've done, not just for America and for France and Europe, but for the whole world. And I think that the fact that I was able to do it just, you know, 8-10 years later is mind-boggling to me.
Tell me a little bit more about Mr. Schneider and what it was about him that captivated your imagination.
I think he not only did he know so much, but he was able to articulate it very well, and especially for young minds, it's kind of hard to wrap around big concepts in history, and he did a very good job. He was also very interactive. I think during the French Revolution, we reenacted kind of the French Revolution and how the aristocratic society was. If you were the first one in the class, you were King Louis. If you were the last one in the class, you were one of the peasants. And he actually chose me to be Maximilian Robespierre, and I got to start the whole guillotine process. He had a fake guillotine in class one day, and it was. He just really like made it real for us, kind of in a more simplistic way. But he allowed us to not only learn about it but experience it. And for World War II specifically, he brought in veterans, and every Veterans Day at our school, he organized an event where pictures of people that were serving or currently serving in the military would be displayed on the gym. Projector. He was very heavily involved in, you know, respecting the sacrifice and of the troops, and I think that and that energy for history really kind of inspired me to share that energy with other people and look into history more myself as well.
Have you talked to Mr. Schneider? Does he know your past? How much of an influence he's been on your life?
I've talked with him a little bit, but we've kind of, it's hard to talk to the people from different schools, I guess, because, you know, you move on to high school. But other history teachers that I've been involved with at high school know my passion, and they have also continued to inspire me, and I think it's kind of like a layer cake. You can't move up without the base, and that was Mr. Schneider. But beyond that, it just keeps going up.
You've had history teachers along the way that continue to influence you.
Yeah, and even here at St. Norbert, our history staff is very phenomenal, and they're very good at articulating history for not only like history majors like me who love the stuff, read the stuff, but people that, you know, have to take the class as a requirement. They make it real for them, and they're very engaging, very intelligent, and I think that's helped to continue to inspire me, that let me know that this is the path I want to go on.
Right. So Nick, we were there. The first thing we did is we walked through the visitor center that told us a little bit about much of the history that you've already learned and studied. So kind of take us through that walk, through the visitor center, walking out onto the beach, and then as we progressed through the cemetery. Talk a little bit just about
what you saw, what you felt as we walked through there.
Yeah, I think the visitor center is very well laid out. I didn't pay as much time as the visitor center that I probably should have, because I know a lot of the stuff about, you know, the history behind the invasion and all that stuff. But it was cool to see a lot of the artifacts. And then you have this circular room in the visitor center where they have prominent names of people that were involved in the war and either survived or died. And then they have a voice listing off the names in succession. And then in the middle of the room, there is a single rifle on the ground with the helmet on top, the common image of sacrifice for, at least for our troops here in America. And then you walk out towards the cliff, and you can see the beach, you see the English Channel, you see the tall cliffs. There's several lookouts along there. And then it's kind of forested for a while. It could just look like a regular park. And then you walk out, and there they are, the stark white crosses in the ground, all in rows, all in line, kind of like soldiers are supposed to be. And it's very powerful. I think one of the more symbolic things that you might remember, too, because I think I mentioned this when we were there, is that as soon as we were walking out through the cemetery into the crosses, the sun started to shine. And that was the first day on the trip that we actually saw the sun in full force for more than like 2 minutes. So it was very, very cool to see that. And we walked around and looked at a lot of things, and, you know, you just take the time to appreciate, you can never understand what they went through, whether they died on the beach afterwards or they're still alive today. You can never understand what they went through, but it's important to understand the sacrifice that they made. Father Andrew Seferny had us, when we were walking around, had us take a picture of a name that we found and like held it with us for the rest of the day. And I think that was also profound, too, because it's not just Soldier A, Soldier B. It's Donovan Petz or Rex Wheat. Those are the few of the names that I remember in my head. It's very, very profound.
We visited both the German and the British cemetery. What were some of your thoughts as we visited those different places?
I think out of, now this kind of goes against my dream a little bit, kind of a paradox of it, but I actually kind of like the setup of the German one a little better. And I think that's because, you know, with the American and the British cemeteries, you know, they died, but they were fighting, we could say, a noble cause, and they were sacrificed, but on the victorious side. The Germans, you know, they just died. They didn't have anything. They had no glory, no honor, no really nothing. Just they were just on the wrong side. I think when we visited Pointe du Hoc, I had wondered how many German visitors actually come to these places, because for them it's probably not as, it's more of a place of defeat as for us it's a place of victory. And the crosses are all, they're just plates in the ground, and they had two soldiers per grave marker, which I thought was interesting. It's almost like they're throwing them into a pit, but at least they're marking them that way. And it was, again, the landscaping was just beautiful. All the places have beautiful landscaping. People that are in charge of these places, you know, no matter what side they're on, they treat the dead with respect in the landscaping and all of that stuff. The other thing, too, was, well, it's January in France, so there's no one there. We had the cemeteries, especially the German one and the British one, we basically had them all to ourselves, which allowed us to, you know, kind of appreciate the calm and the silence and the reverence of these places.
So, ethnically, you're at least part German. Do you think that's a bit why maybe the German cemetery called to you a little bit more, or...?
I mean, I wouldn't say that, because I'm German and Irish, but I didn't really grow up in a German and Irish household. It's kind of just something I associate with, and of course my last name is ridiculously German. But I didn't really grow up with that as part of my identity. I just think that I kind of have sympathy for soldiers who are fighting kind of on that enemy side, because, you know, they might not agree with what, you know, Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, I could go on with several historical names as well, what they believe, but they don't have a choice. They have to fight. And the same thing with America, but at least with the American side, you could say, we're defending democracy, we are saving the Jews, that we're talking about later in the war when they found out about the concentration camps. But the Germans didn't have that. They were just put into this situation with guns, and they were told to defend the ideals of the fatherland, but they might not have totally agreed with all of the ideas of the fatherland ideology was forming.
Right. Nick, since you got over there and had this experience, and now you're back here all of a sudden, do you just want to reflect on that a little bit about what will you hold with you from being there and walking amongst those tombs?
I think that a lot of people in this country, they talk a lot about the, like I mentioned repeatedly, the sacrifice of the soldiers. We need to honor the soldiers and the veterans that are alive and dead. But a lot of those same people are also some of the people that are the first to say, let's go into conflicts, let's end tyranny, or let's go into a place because we don't agree with how they're running their country. And I think that people need to think more about what the cost is of war before they're ready to jump into a conflict.
Do you remember about how many crosses were in the American Cemetery? Crosses, and I should say Stars of David, predominantly crosses, but how many American men were laying in that field? Do you remember?
No, I don't remember the exact number.
I think it was something over 9,000, plus another 1,000, 1,500 missing.
Yeah.
So just a reminder of the reality of loss of life there. Any other final message you'd like to share with somebody who might click on this?
I would just say, see the world, travel the world. That was my first, going to Normandy was my first time out of the country, and I don't regret a single thing other than the fact that I'm tall and flying is horrible. but you really have to see the world. It allows you to open your eyes to new perspectives, and because this is a beautiful world, and while America is beautiful in itself, there's other places and people and times that you need to see with your own eyes. It doesn't, you know, you can watch Saving Private Ryan and see the walking through the American Cemetery, or you can see it in videos, but pictures and videos never do anything justice. It's always greater when you are in the moment and present in that place.
Great. Thanks for your time, Nick.
Thank you.